The Lord Jesus Christ delivered a woman from the crushing jaws of death. And after she was delivered, he summarized the situation by asking her, "Where are those thine accusers? Has any man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And he said to her, "Go and sin no more." Then he turned and said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Man is unjust in his judgment of man. Where was the other party? They were not concerned about him. All they were concerned about was that poor defenseless woman, to stone her to death. But I thank the Almighty God that he is so unlike man. He is the God of all grace, a God of mercy, a God of compassion. And this is what the world needs to know. Jesus Christ may be trusted. What are they afraid of? As I also said this morning, ours is not a weapon that takes life. The Bible, Christianity, the book is a book that gives life. The only source to which men may resort and find lasting help. But still, they are so much afraid of it. The reports on the earthquake that killed so many people in Haiti, you listen quite well, many things were said, many things were done. And even as I listen, I'm aware of the fact that the world does not care to include Jesus Christ in its happening so as to give him credit and acknowledge his merciful sovereignty. The great men, reporters, those who brought in their findings and how they were able to escape. Hardly anything was said about a personal encounter with Christ during that disaster, or what the Lord Jesus Christ has enabled them to do by surviving. It was not highlighted. Jesus Christ was not given the credit that he should receive. But one day he's going to get it. He's going to get it. Haiti, as it is seemingly recovering. It's going to take much time. I'm glad for Haiti. The nation has been condemned time and again for its practices in witchcraft. But I do not necessarily support the idea that Haiti is worse than any place. Sin and sinners are everywhere. Anywhere mortal man is, sin is found there. And I say to you, my friend, sin was found in heaven. Much more, every place on earth, no place is exempted. And so we need to pray that God will be merciful further on Haiti and be merciful on us, that he will spare us, for we are no better than they are. Father in heaven, how gracious you are unto us. Truly, if you were to give us that which we deserve, none of us would be here tonight. What is man that thou art mindful of him? For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses as filthy rags. There is none righteous, there is none good, no, not one. You should be condemned and be in hell tonight. But indeed, you're a merciful God. Bless your word. Oh God, get our attention that we will live more productive lives as the days are shortened for us and for time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When the walk is louder than the talk. That is the title of my message tonight. When the walk is louder than the talk. The Lord Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Almighty God does not want for us, when we put that switch on, to release a black beam. But he wants, when the switch is turned on, there is light in the path to light up the darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 4, it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. My beloved friends, notice carefully the strong admonition and conclusion of who we are in verse 5. We are children of the light. Children of the light. Therefore, our works should commend the light. I am told that Henry Standler's found David Livingstone in Africa. And the report continues and said, Mr. Henry Standler's lived with him for some time. And here is Henry's testimony. He said, I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But there came for me a long time for reflection. I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? Amazing, isn't it? That that great man should have left his homeland and go and dwell among an unfamiliar people. Was it not because the love of Christ constrained him and filled his heart, so revolutionized him That homely comfort meant nothing more to him. What was most comforting and would be his comfort zone, where Christ wanted him to be. When I went to the Victoria Falls, as I visited Africa some time ago, I saw some statues of great men there. And as I walked around, I looked at them. History has revered them. Then I came to the statue of David Livingstone, with Bible in hand, as far as I remember, and certain implements, if my memory serves me correctly, of his medical practices. And when I got there, I felt a holiness, a warmth of God that came over me, as I realized who was being portrayed, whose life, by that one stature, I was overwhelmed with amazement and satisfaction to know what a merciful God could have done through a man that let his light shine. When the walk is louder than the talk, may I say to you, men are compelled to come to Christ by the shining light of their lives. So Mr. Henry Standlers continued in his testimony. He wanted to know what inspired David Livingstone to go to Africa. He could not understand. But does not the Bible say, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are so many people who think we have lost a screw. We all cracked up upstairs. But is the power, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation that has created in us such a revolutionary change? It is true that men are so afraid of piety, righteousness, holiness. And before they acknowledge the truth, as they see the power of God exemplified in our lives, they would say that we are men of insanity, fanatics. But we are not fanatics. We are fantastic for the kingdom of God. A merciful God seen us in our penitence, hardness of heart, for prolonged days, but still moving towards us, advances day by day with strong conviction, until at last we yield ourselves to his tender embrace. And like Livingstone, more so like the great Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Those men, by the shining light of their lives, must of necessity compel men to Christ. And we, if we should adopt their formula and walk in the principles of self-sacrifice as those men did, Christianity would have encompassed more of the world and more of men's lives. You see, when you look at these men's lives, they were all sold out for Jesus. And God will honor that life that is totally sold out for God. But we have allowed the cares of this life to so encompass our being that little is given to the work of the Lord. In these last days, remember my friends, there is absolutely nothing that is going to help the world like the gospel of Christ. And if the bearers are not zealous about getting it across to the world will not be any better. It didn't say men of the world are the light of the world. God did not tell them to walk in light. How can darkness walk in light? But it tells us, ye are the light of the world. Therefore, we ought to shine. 4 months, says Mr. Henry Standlers, 4 months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible, leave all things and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy became contagious. He says, my sympathy was aroused, seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went about his business. I like the conclusion of Mr. Standler's. He says, I was converted by him, although he had not tried to do it. Amazing, isn't it? Do you know how great a life that lights up before men will impact them? There must of necessity be change. When we are lit up with the glory of God, turn to the book of John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if you please. A familiar passage of scripture. It says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. That is what Henry Standler saw in Dr. David Livingstone. He saw light. He did not go preaching to him, begging him every day to get saved. He just saw something that he never knew before and realized that it was inevitable. He had to be a partaker of it. And he eventually surrendered his life to God. That is greatness. As far as a life lived, a life that is invaluable on the earth, such a life as Livingstone will shake the empires of the world. Christianity can do the job. And we need to be convinced. We need to put our fears aside and be totally assured in our hearts that the gospel which we testify to, that has brought such a revolutionary change in our lives, is able to assist the world more than anything else. It's getting late, my friends. Late as far as the age of grace is concerned. Late as far as some of our lives are concerned. We are living in the lateness of time. And time will soon be taken and hurled into eternity. It is now our time to affect time by letting our lights shine. I think we are too encaged by the world system. And so we are unable to penetrate with the light of God that he has given to us. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse other men, as well as it has cleansed us from all their sins. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Praise the Lord. Yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It doesn't matter who stands before me, as God gives me the opportunity, not in arrogance, but to let men know that Jesus loves them. Jesus will save them. Jesus will help them. The young man who told me yesterday that he was an atheist. So urgently, I'm an atheist when I spoke to him of the weapon that I have. The weapon that gives life and not take life. Oh, how my heart went out to him. I wish he had permitted our loving Lord Jesus Christ to draw him unto himself with the cords of love. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. What an unbreakable and an undying relationship, incomparable. And as I have covenanted, as long as I live, I am going to live for God. I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is nothing on this side of heaven that is better than living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge any man, and we want them to be partakers of what we have. Therefore, we must let our lights shine. Yes, I'll give you another example. Not only, my beloved friends, by the shining light of our lives, but by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you about an infidel. Ingersoll is his name. It is said that many a man or woman has borne witness to his Christian faith through a consecrated life. And here is one such person, a relative of Robert Ingersoll, known in the family as Aunt Sarah, living on the Pacific Coast, was a devout Bible student and a beautiful Christian woman. One day, she received by mail a package which on opening proved to be a copy of Ari Ingersoll's book, An Attack Upon the Bible. My friend, the attack continues. Men continue to hammer away at the Word of God, but it still remains. While hammers are worn out, thy word is eternally settled in heaven. Let all the infidels rise up against this book. They met it, they leave it, and it will always be there. O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of the dark sky, we praise thee for thy radiance. And from the hallowed page, this book, holy, what a book that has transformed us. And many are waiting out there to be transformed. And you and I are the only ones that are able to fulfill this responsibility by lighting up the dark world and by allowing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to work in us. Great Britain is not going to be any better except for the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter what programs are implemented, who comes on the scene with better ideas and philosophies. The book, God says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The nation needs to get back to the Bible. All nations Look at what is happening to us as they fight to turn off the light of God's word. The world never experienced so much trouble, and more is yet to come, because they will be turning more from the Bible. But thank God for the remnant according to the election of grace. Those who will adhere to truth and live God's word. That is what is making the difference today. We who are not only the light, but the salt of the earth. So this dear woman, receive that book, An Attack on the Bible. On the fly leaf was written the words over Ingersoll's signature. These are the words: if all Christians had lived like Aunt Sarah, perhaps this book would have never been written. The indisputable fact of a consistent Christian life, it is said, was more disquieting than the great infidel belief. Than to the great infidel's belief than anything else. And Sarah, walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, there is a shining, a glow, a light from heaven upon you. I must have told you about one young man who got converted very early when I was a child, with whom I played. And one morning I saw him standing beneath the school building. And as he stood, I approached him. And as I looked upon him, something strange but wonderful had happened to him. I was between 9 and 10 years of age. Conversion in my country was not a very common thing. But the Holy Spirit gave me instant insight when I saw him as to what had taken place. I exclaimed, "Kenneth, you got saved?" And he responded, "Yes, I got saved last night." Unmistakably, the light of God shone upon him. The power of the Holy Spirit was allowed to do his work. And Kenneth was transformed. You know why a lot of people are not saved, my friends? And I don't want you to feel badly. But if it makes you feel badly, unto correction, wonderful. We need to allow the Spirit of God to activate our lives with such intensity that men will cry out to God. They will want God. We can't fool people. People see us even when we seek to disguise ourselves or hide what is obvious in our lives from them. As I could not help but see in Christ and Kenneth, so many cannot help but to see when he's not in us. That's a thought to consider. And so, my beloved friends, I challenge you as I close tonight by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. May Zion go forth and bring people into the kingdom of God. Turn with this last reference here in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. You can do it, my friends. But first of all, let God do it in you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The scripture says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Conduct your lives, my life, by the influence of the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The lust of the flesh does not only means sexuality, sensuality. But there are other things that pertains to the lust of the flesh that we lust after. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And in that same passage, chapter 16, chapter 5, and verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you are a part of that holy making, that spiritual making, then walk therein. Walk in the Spirit. You know, what is so obvious in our lives? It is failure to do our spiritual homework. We have time for everything else except building our character and our spiritual muscles in God, so that we are able to stand and face the enemy and fight a good warfare. Gentlemen, ladies, boys and girls, if we are going to do it, God must be at the control of our lives. And then we will go forth in conquest, not being victims of the enemies. Tonight, I invite you to surrender fully to God. There is yet so much ground to cover. Shall we pray? Blessed Lord and Savior, we acknowledge how weak, how inefficient, how powerless we have been. You cannot be faulted, dear God, for the condition of the church. You have done your work well. Lord Jesus, your Father responded to you, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But is he able to say so of us? Lord God, are you satisfied with us? It is hardly so. We beg your forgiveness. And we pray that we will not incur the wrath of God, the chastening hand of God. There has been so long a delay, so much procrastination. The world, my God, is without the restraint that is necessary, because, no doubt, if we are honest, we need to accept we are blameworthy. And so we pray that you will forgive us, and we will hasten, dear God, before it is too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.